The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1127. It's the 27th of July, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Lawrence Reed, Executive Director of Europa Metals, that's EUZ ticker, and Lawrence explains how the recent fundraise of over £500,000 will be used to develop their lead, zinc, silver asset in Spain. Also on the podcast, Sachin Osa, Co-Chief Executive Director of Rehobold Resources, RBD is the ticker there, and Sachin outlines the company's multiple milestones coming up before the end of the year. Also on the podcast, for the first time actually, Scott McGregor, Chief Executive Officer of Red Tea Energy, that's R-E-D, and Scott discusses the deal they signed yesterday to deliver more than 700 megawatts of projects supporting the German grid, with 80 megawatts as the first phase development. Really exciting deal there, and worth listening to that, and very interesting technology they have. Also on the podcast, as always, have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Lawrence Reed, Executive Director of Europa Metals, that's EUZ ticker. You're right, Lawrence.
Very well. Very well. The connection's a bit wobbly because we're in Spain at the moment on site, but bear with us.
Okay, so the news out today is a place to raise money. Before we get into that, for you know, as always, I mean, you have changed your name recently. You used to be Firm Crescent, you got a new direction, changed board. So can you explain for people new to the podcast, maybe not familiar with the company, what you're all about, please?
We are a European-focused lead, zinc, silver company. We've got a major flagship project in Terral, which is in the province of Castilla y León, which is very pro-mining. And we basically inherited a huge amount of data, a huge amount of core, which hadn't really ever been looked at from historic companies, so about 41,000 metres plus of drilling. And we actually looked at it and we reinterpreted it and bought it into Pengot Consultants. So that's their first JORC resource earlier in the year, which was fantastic. You can see that on Justin's podcast and online. It's including contained metals. And earlier in the year, we raised money for a phase one exploration program on Terral, which was step out drilling to look for the continuation of the mineralization, scoping study, so first economics on the project, and also for met work. And that's all underway. That's great. So we had the met team, scoping study team, and also our chairman Colin Bird visited site yesterday. And we've also raised money this morning to start the phase two program, which will include the first new drill holes into the high grade areas of our resource, which you can see the large pink bits if you go onto our website or somewhere else and look at our block model.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, listen, the news out today is you raised money. You raised £563,000 just about before expenses at 0.0775 pence a share. Now, a lot of people contact me straight away that seen this, and they said, why are they raising money? When Lawrence came on before, you announced a scoping study, you said you were fully funded until after the scoping study. So some people not understand this, and some people are quite annoyed by this. So explain why you're doing a fundraise now.
Well, we're completely on schedule and on budget, so everything I previously said is correct. So scoping study is going very well. Relogging, meta-analysis is going very well. As I said, we've had all the teams on site all of this week and last week. So that's all going to plan. We're learning more and more. We would always have needed to begin phase two of the program after we'd completed all of this work. But what we've done today is we've raised a very focused amount of money. So we can begin that phase two work as soon as the extension drilling's finished and start putting drill holes right down into the heart of the Terral resource and increase our understanding. my feeling, because we thought about it, we discussed it, etc., is we'd raise the money now so we can immediately keep the momentum up, keep working. We're learning an awful lot about Tyrol on a daily basis, and we'll be updating the market shortly on that when appropriate. We want to keep the momentum up. We also didn't want to reach a situation, frankly, for the company and for shareholders, where as soon as the scoping study had finished, as soon as the extension drilling had finished, as soon as the network had finished, everybody would know we would have run out of cash and would have gone out of the raising. And you would have seen a situation, I think, on the back of that, where the share price just would have plunged, because people would have known that we would have had to go out and raise money to begin phase two. So this way, it keeps us moving along, allows us to keep doing work, and very exciting work as well, I have to say. The idea of really getting to grips with the next stage of designing this project, thinking this project, by getting into the high grade for the first time, is absolutely fascinating.
Okay, so to get it straight, there's sort of two areas here. If, like you say, you know, people, you did say you were fully funded to the scoping study, but of course we know, and people would know then, after the scoping study, hopefully that value creation, as you know, shown in the scoping study, that can be generated by the project, that would raise the share price, but that would be muted because people would be aware you would need to raise money off the back of that. Is that right?
I think that's certainly a case, and also, you know, sudden stops in exploration programs. So where you do work and you stop, in a sense, you have to take some breaths, and then you have to, you know, what we want to do is we want to keep going, we want to keep the momentum up, we want to keep the news flow up, we want to keep teams which have been assembled working and busy, and frankly, optimise costs.
Yeah, okay. And so at the moment, tell us exactly what's going on at Tyrol. And you said there's a lot of things you're discovering, you know, that are quite exciting. So take us through that. Exactly what's happening on the ground at the moment there, and where you are.
It's not just Tyrol. So we've got, because it really is spread at the moment. So right now we've got our geological team, minus Miles, who came up to site at the beginning of the week so we could sit the scoping study team. But we got the geological team, plus a few geological assistants we brought in, relogging key bits of the core down at that big core shed. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating is there we previously only had the intersections, but now they're logging as much of the actual entirety of the drill core as possible, which is giving us an enormous amount of information. But we'll come to that. So essentially every single day everybody safely has to try and achieve a certain target of relogging, and that's been entering into our computerized systems. So everybody's doing that, and all of that information is being fed back up to us, is informing lots of our decisions, and will be fed into our understanding of Tyrol and essentially that core high grade zone which has been established. Meanwhile, up at site itself, up in Castilla and beyond, we coincided Chairman Colin Bird's site visit with AMS engineering scoping study team and also environmental team, and the Met guy have all been on site this week. I think I've just sent you a photo of it, and that's been fascinating. So that's just the nuts and bolts, the nitty gritty of all the component parts of the scoping study. But what's been fascinating is having Colin here, who's built a number of mines over the years, has developed a lot of mines for major groups and junior mining companies, is having his input into the most effective economic approaches and how we might look at this project in the future. So it's really working together with scoping study. And also we're off to see the DG of Castilla y León to introduce him to Colin today, and keep our very good relationships going there. And we've got a lot of new ideas, lots of things we're thinking about, and we'll probably put more news out as the months go on.
Excellent stuff. Now, from a private investor point of view, you know, some of them are thinking, oh, hang on, because I'm getting messages now saying, oh, the sentiment will drop on this now because they believe there's no fundraise. I mean, what would you say to them? How would you reassure them this is not going to keep happening, you know, when you're funded? And obviously, you are a pre-revenue company. You need funding. And I've often been told by companies, the best time to raise money is when you don't need it. That makes a lot of sense, you know. But how can you reassure investors here, Lawrence? I mean, it's still a project. I mean, this. I mean, I assume you're going to say this still has a huge amount of potential in this project.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think it's not me who has to. Well, it is me who has to reassure you. But it's. I don't think anyone wants to listen to another CEO saying the project's wonderful. But just look at the project. You know, you've got a really exciting built resource. You've got a drilling campaign that's about to start. Yes, money's just been raised, but then you've got a second drilling campaign that's now been paid for, which is going to be sinking into the high-grade areas. So what I'd be doing is bringing up the block model on our presentations on our website and looking at those high-grade areas and looking at what the pink and the red denote in terms of grade, and thinking, okay, well, look, they're going to be looking for mineralization to the east, and then once they've completed that, completed the scoping study, they're going to be sinking drill holes into this massive grade. Plus, probably even more importantly, they're building a scoping study. And, you know, as I said again and again before, you're going to be having first economics in Q3. And, yeah, as a shareholder, possibly people don't like, and I can completely understand it, and we thought about it, that we've raised money, but you're in a situation where once the three component parts of phase one have been completed and announced, we're not suddenly going to have to rush out in the market to raise new money, which everybody would have known we would have done. And also, I think for me, over the last week or two, you know, the benefits and the value we got from this company, just from going and looking at the logs and looking at the core and bringing an independent consultant to do the JORC resource, were significant. But now we're re-logging the core. We're building up our own database. So in a sense, we're taking that concept to the next level. And we're looking very closely and increasing our understanding of the site. And that, for me, for the last 2 weeks, has been absolutely fascinating. And while our workflows tick over, what I'm really looking forward to is finding out what the results are of our relogging exercise, listening to the geologists talk about what they've discovered, what they've thought, what they think has been missed.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, at the moment, I say, are you getting more excited with the project? As you're going on doing more work in it, are you getting more excited about it?
I generally avoid this because I don't want to be, but honestly speaking, the last week, I was saying to Jesus Montero, who's our head of ops, and I said, you know, from the beginning of the week to the end of the week, I'm probably about 25 more excited about this project than I have been before. Okay. And that's so spruikery. I'm sorry, Justin, you shouldn't have asked me that question. I always say that I'm not going to say things like that. But I can't wait to see what the next 6 weeks gives us. And they will all be based on data, so we can't influence that. We're just going to have to look at what the hard facts are. But I'm dying to see what happens from the relogging and some of that work the geos are doing. And the coming together of Miles and AMS and everybody on the scoping study. We've got an excellent head of engineering from AMS who, funnily enough, knows Colin from the 70s. Coincidentally, has been absolutely fascinating. And we just learn more and more and more every single day. And it's just new ways of thinking about this project in a good way. but I can't say anymore. We'll announce things, we'll announce facts, we'll announce proper studies, etc. It's a fascinating project, and just, you know, who investors, everybody should just know there is so many good projects, I believe, out there with large amounts of data that have just been misunderstood. I mean, that's a fascinating thing. Yeah. You know, you just look at all of this, and most of it was just completely missed, and the understanding of this was completely missed.
Yeah, okay. And so when, I mean, are you on course? I like you didn't say Q4, but you did say easily in Q4 for the scoping study. Are you on course for that?
I think we were trying to get it, I think in our RNS, it's going to hopefully be by Q4. We're going to have scoping study and the drilling done and all the phase one work.
Excellent stuff. All right. Lawrence, thanks for coming on. One final thing. And 3 points. So people are listening right now. You may see a bit of a dip in the share price due to the new stock in the market or the fundraise. So some may see an opportunity. But if they're not following the story, please give them 3 quick reasons why they should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list so they can do some more research, please.
Lots of news flow, including First Economics on a drop-to-find resource by Q4. A drilling campaign that's looking at more potential along the mineralization, and then second drilling campaign that's going to be busting straight into existing high grade zones as defined under JORC. And the third thing is relogging, taking our understanding of a huge amount of data left over from previous companies to the next level in Spain in a safety restriction with good relationships with local government.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One final question. Are you saying, because you said about the relogging, you're going through all that stuff, I mean, and you're getting more excited. So at the moment, this project is exceeding your expectations, is that right?
Listen, let's just... we'll be putting news flow out. I'm very happy about where we are. We're learning an awful lot. We're increasing our understanding. I think I'll leave it at that for the time being.
Okay.
And we'll update the market as time goes on. But naturally, if you're in a situation where your information has only previously been the intersections, okay, which just gives you, you know, the hard facts of what metals were, by logging the entire drill hole, you're suddenly getting all of the structural information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that, in a sense, is probably where most mining companies would have started from in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So suddenly we understand, well, no, we don't understand yet, but we're beginning to get an understanding, we're beginning to get ideas, and that's why I'm hesitant, because we want to see all this information. But that's what I'm dying to see.
Okay. And so when do you think the next bit of news will be out before scoping study? What will that be likely?
I don't know, to be honest, but it's probably coming in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
So we'll update them up. We've got so much going on at the moment, and it's all overlapping. But I've given you the list of news flow. You very kindly communicated that to people over the months. And listen, I'll let you know as soon as we know more. But we're going to be putting news out.
Excellent stuff. Lawrence, it's good to chat to you. Hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Like you said, could be in the next couple of weeks. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Sacha Ozer, Chief Executive Officer of Rehoboam Resources. RBD is the ticker there. I've got to say, co-chief executive. We tried to get Stephen on, had technical issues, but Sacha, you're with us anyway, so that's good.
Indeed I am. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, so you've been on the podcast before. There's lots of interest in the stock. You've got a lot of things going on. For people not familiar with Rehoboam Resources, Sachin, can you give us a brief summary as to what you're all about, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So Rehoboam Resources is an AIM-listed oil and gas company. The focus is on pre-cash flow oil and gas projects that are really in the appraisal and development stage of the life cycle. We focus on that area because that is where we believe the biggest market dislocation is in terms of the value of the asset and the underlying opportunity to create substantial uplifts thereafter. So the capital that Rehoboam Resources provides into those projects is aimed at progressing them and moving them forward to the point of being drilled in the near term. What we also look for is a set of projects that can and have a clear pathway to monetization after a successful drilling result. That way, we believe we can expose Rehoboam investors to the biggest part of the uplift in the value life cycle of pre-cash flow oil and gas assets.
Marvellous stuff. And quickly, just by title, how many projects do you have at the moment going on?
Yeah, so we break it down into three areas. That would be California, where we have the nearest term activity taking place, then the UK, and then Romania. Within California, however, there are three project areas, and we think about it really in terms of four projects. Within the UK, there are two projects, and within Romania, there is one, all of which will be taking place this year. There is future potential in all of those areas after that, but that's what's taking place this year.
Okay, excellent stuff. Well, let's go into the last bit of significant news you released, and this is an update on the Coulter and Wick projects. Take us through the detail here, if you could, please, Sachin.
Yeah, absolutely. So the announcement that was made was really the authorization for expenditure for the Wick and Coulter wells. Mm-hmm. Wick is in the Inner Moray Firth, and the joint venture partnership authorized the drilling of that well that is now expected to be in September of this year. The same also happened for Coulter, and we expect that to be drilled in November of this year. The authorization for expenditure is a clear indication of the commitment to have these wells drilled and hopefully provide very exciting news flow for Riebold investors.
Yeah, and what's the sort of potential here if everything goes to plan?
We have provided NPV values for these projects, but I mean, the real focus here is to say that for Coulter, what we're talking about is we are talking about an appraisal opportunity that is adjacent to the Witch Farm location and is in a very prolific basin. Mm-hmm. It's a well-understood region that really is trying to unlock 30 million barrels of potential P50 resource, that can then be quickly monetized because it fits in so nicely with the other projects already happening in the region. The same is true for Wick as well, because it is adjacent to the Lipster field, and the upside potential from unlocking that resource also provides a big uplift to the Riebold investor.
Yeah, and these are both happening before the end of the year.
That's right. So just to reiterate, the timelines for that would be September for Wick and November for Coulter.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, let's go on to, you mentioned the California interest is almost your most advanced here and expert in news. What's happening there at the moment?
Yeah, so we have, as announced at the time of the acquisition of Gaelic Resources, an interest within the Sacramento Basin in California. And I've mentioned that there were three project areas, and we sometimes break that down further into four different types of projects. The first of those was workover activity across four wells in the Monroe Swell license area. That activity is ongoing, and we look forward to updating the market for the potential of the activity from the workover, because it not only provides insights and potential value from the production from the existing wells themselves, but it also will help us understand in the success case a much better potential from the new wells that we will be drilling in the very near term in Monroe Swell.
Excellent stuff. Well, it sounds like you're going to be very busy in the next 3 to 6 months, and a lot of exciting stuff there for people to research on. But for people listening right now who like the sound of this but are not following you as yet, Sachin, can you give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I just indicated, there is a significant amount of activity in the near term that is happening across the Riebold portfolio. To reiterate very quickly again, we have California, where in the first instance, we have the workover activity. The workover activity itself will generate potential cash flow very quickly, but it also gives us significant insights into the new drilling campaign that will be taking place before October of this year for a further three wells in California. We also have the two exciting wells that we mentioned, Coulter and Wick, and we shouldn't forget the final well, which is in Romania. And that will take place in December of this year. So that gives us the six-well drilling campaign, which we fundamentally believe is very exciting, and each one will be transformational to the company itself. The second point is we've built this portfolio out in a very short period of time. It speaks to our ability to identify projects, get them moving forward, and then start demonstrating the potential for significant uplifts in value to the Rehobald investor. And the future assets that we would look to bring into the portfolio will have a very similar type of profile to the ones that we've just been speaking about. So we also provide the Rehobald investor to our ability to execute these further projects. And finally, we do have a differentiated strategy that we believe is unique amongst oil and gas space. We've proven somewhat of a track record in being able to identify the projects, provide capital that moves them to the point of getting drilled in the near term with a clear pathway to monetization thereafter. We are exploiting a market dislocation that exists for pre-cash flow assets and fundamentally believe we can exploit and create substantial value from that dislocation. Because of the unique strategy, it means that the Rehobald investor will get significant upside exposure as we roll this strategy out over the coming months and years.
Excellent stuff. Well, listen, it's good to chat to you, Sachin. And like you say, there's a lot going on. And so hopefully we'll be chatting on in the not-too-distant future on one of many of your projects. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Scott McGregor, Chief Executive Officer of Red T Energy. RED is the ticker there. Scott, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Now, you've had some excellent news out of late, and we'll get into that in a bit, the detail of that. Before we do, and I know a couple of shareholders have said you're glad you're coming on the podcast already, but before you do, for people new to the company or new to the podcast, could you summarise, what is Red T Energy all about, please, Scott?
So, Red T Energy is an energy storage company. So, we're a pure play energy storage company. Energy storage, as everyone knows, is one of the biggest global, fastest growing sectors. We've been in this business for 20 years, so we're one of the oldest companies in this market. Half the company specializes on business models. So we do hundreds of business models with utilities, commercial businesses, developers, projects all across the world. So we understand how to make money from energy storage. And there's very few people in the market understand that. And then within the technology itself, we have big containers which store energy in liquid, which we call machines. Mm-hmm. So these are not batteries. Batteries are degradable, disposable power storage. We make energy storage, which is long-term, heavy-using industrial equipment, which is what is the growth part of the sector. We sell batteries as well and machines, depending on what the client models say, but the dominant technology will be the machines of the future.
So can you, I mean, without sort of confusing me too much, can you just delve into the technology behind these machines then, please, Scott?
Yeah. So technology, both lithium batteries and flow, has been around since the 30s and 40s. So these are old technologies. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, the energy storage market is being developed and taking off now, not because of the technologies, they're proven, but because solar has become so cheap. So that's what's driving the revolution. These are old technologies. Lithium batteries came to the market much quicker because they're already for cars and other tools. Flow machines, which we make, there's only a couple of companies in the world that have proven this technology, and now we're mass producing that, and we're the leading player in that technology. Simply, you store electrons in a liquid. In the liquid has something called vanadium in it. The electrons attach that and deposit in a tank. The technology never degrades. You can use it 100% all day long, up and down, charging and discharge, and reuse that material after 20, 25 years. So it doesn't consume anything, which is a first for the energy sector.
Yeah. And I know vanadium has become a very hot commodity of late, isn't it, because of that?
Yeah, vanadium, it's hot at the moment, mainly because of a number of macro factors, but it is the 20th most available element on Earth, so there is lots of it there. And there's terawatts of potential of energy storage, so there's no shortage. Just mining analysts get a bit promotional, a little bit on price in the short-term blips.
Very interesting. Okay. Well, let's go into this news, very exciting news that really moved the share price. And it said you signed a deal for a 700 megawatt of German grid projects. Take us into the detail of this, Scott.
Yeah, so this is big news for the energy industry, firstly in Europe. Big news for storage, energy storage sector, because this is a trigger for a massive takeoff. And obviously, huge for Red Tea. I think this is what we call a mega, mega, mega deal, about as big as it gets. Mm-hmm. So what it means fundamentally is that batteries have been sort of playing on grid services a little bit for short-term power applications, but true big-scale storage to balance the grid for renewables hasn't yet come to market. So this is a portfolio of very large four-hour storage projects for Europe. The returns are great for investors, and it will now show that energy storage can replace coal. Coal typically is what's used to balance the grid, and Germany and certain markets are stuck with coal for the short term, but this will now migrate energy storage to migrate a whole energy transition for generation and storage to full renewables market. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, so take us through some of the details on the timelines of this and the delivery of this, if you could.
Yeah, so financially, it's around 50 million worth of projects. Initially, first phase, starting next year, and then 400 million over full expansion. The first phase are ready to go, and that's why we're so excited. It's very rare you come across projects that are ready to construct. So planning, all the approvals are done. The partner we've partnered with have done a fantastic job. They really know the German market. So we come in, we bring the finance, and we bring supply our technology. So starting next year, we get going.
Okay, and you say this is worth, 50 million, is that euros?
$50 million, roughly. Okay. I think euros and dollars are quite similar at the moment. And then up to 400 as this portfolio. Interestingly, though, Justin, this set of projects, the first phase, is only 1% of the overall German market.
Wow.
It's a massive growth market, just talking about Germany, let alone the other European countries.
Yeah. And like you said, you're now sort of in Germany here. What other markets are you looking at or in contact with or approaching then?
So the UK market we know very well. We spent actually most of our business model evaluations on the UK market because it's our home market. We're a British company. So would like to announce things in this market in the future as well. And then we're also heavily pushing into the Australian market now, only in the last few months. And we've just delivered the largest commercial behind the meter storage system into Australia. So they're our core markets. And there's plenty of projects to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, Scott, and sort of milestones and what's next? What are you hoping to achieve maybe before year end and maybe a bit further out?
So we want to get these projects financial close, the last stage. There's plenty of capital, so I don't see that as a problem. And then we start building our production to deliver. It's 1,000 units. That's a lot of production. We have great partners in the UK and internationally. We get going. We could just spend our next 3 years delivering these projects and exceed all our forecasts in the market. So focus, deliver. We're a very conservative, blunt company, and that's what we want to get on and do. Everything else we do outside these projects is upside.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent stuff. Well, one last thing, Scott. If someone's listening to this and likes the sound of where you're at, the sector you're in, and this progress you've made with this big deal, but are not following the story yet, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Sure. So Red Tea is a pure play energy storage company. Very rare you can get exposure to such a high growth sector. And we are pure play player, so you get complete financial exposure to that sector for all the upside that will bring. These projects we just announced underwrite our forecasts. So they de-risk the business. We are now in execution delivery mode. And thirdly, we are the leading player in this technology, which is the future of energy storage. We call it energy storage 2.0. batteries are really the kindergarten of energy storage. This is full-blown energy storage infrastructure, which is what the grid needs to transition energy generation. So we're at the front of that.
Marvellous stuff. Well, Scott, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Imagnetic, IMTK. So IMTK. I do hold stock in this. It's very high risk, very high reward. And like I said yesterday, Vin Muria, who's called the Queen of Tech, phenomenal return she's had on tech companies and very highly sought after, very well respected in the industry. I mean, she's on the non-executive of several companies who have multi-billion market caps and done lots of deals. So she's highly respected. She's loaned this company, which is a 1.5 million market cap, tiny, couldn't get smaller. She's loaned them $500,000. And is going to be taking an equity position in there. There's a few risks involved. FinCap, the Nomad, will have to resign because she owns 10% of them, and apparently it's a related party transaction. But you'd think of her standing, there shouldn't be a problem securing a Nomad. But it's interesting going forward. So she's loaned the money. As yet, the equity investment is being finalised, but I just think it's a very interesting move here. So it's high risk, you know. The company product is very good. It's rated number one, but it's high risk. But like I said, very interesting why she's getting involved. It's such a small company. At four, Botswana Diamonds, BOD. I checked James yesterday on the podcast. At three, Rehobold Resources. Of course, Sachin was on the podcast today. At two, Gamfuk Jewellery. GAMF, I'm assuming they've floated today. I chatted to the guys on the podcast last month. And also, number one most followed company, I had, of course, Lawrence on the podcast earlier. That's Europa Metals, EUZ. And it was a discounted fundraising, was a bit of a surprise. But like I said, do you know what? I think I woke up this morning very annoyed by it because I didn't see it coming. But now it makes sort of sense because they said they were funded up until the scoping study. And of course, if that comes out and it's good news, what's going to happen is people say, well, they need funding. So that will hold the share price back. Now they can go beyond the scoping study and do phase two of the development of their assets. So I think it's quite a good thing. It gives them more of a runway kind of thing. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, hang on, I've lost the page. Hang on a sec. There we are. At five, it is Metal Tiger Holdings and Company. At four, Great Western Mining Corporation, GWMO, increased in land position. At three, Premier African Minerals, final accounts published. At two, Seeing Machines, SEEC, OEM Design Award, another one. Wow, impressive. And at number one, the most long-awaited bit of news, Tullow Energy, government releases re-tender of 100 megawatts RPF. So that's good because that's going ahead, and so we'll have the results hopefully of that very soon. All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. There is a weekend podcast, and that's a more personal view on stocks we own. So it's a bit different than the weekend podcast, but by all means, tune in. Some people enjoy it more than the weekday podcast. Some people ignore it. It's up to you. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.